I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Yo, son!
One app is life.
It's not the one you should be underestimating.
Sasquatch, Godzilla, King Kong, Loch Ness.
We rap nerd now here, right?
Like, I can tell you were a nerd.
It's primal.
And that's raw, Carhartt girl.
Speaking of sneaky big tits,
are you out there fucking?
I'm doing that.
Years ago, I bought a millionaire Griffin. This was years ago, bro. Years ago.
Cypher Sounds. Peter Rosenberg. One app is life.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
And Cypher, I got to give us credit, bruh.
Why would you do that?
Because we've been putting in that work.
Is it? I guess so.
We're putting in that work right now. And
here's why I'm not feeling it. Because we have been putting in the work, but we
I'm not involved.
No, we banked a couple. Mm-hmm. So it's not weekly as it usually is because we caught two episodes in one day.
No, we did two in a day twice.
That's what I'm saying. So it feels like I haven't been doing it.
You know what I think we did? I think we figured out the only way this thing will work is getting as many into a day as possible. And then I realized the genius is Sife.
Don't. Go ahead.
Sorry. Let me not get ahead of myself. I didn't figure anything out. We're always going to be a failure. But also let me add, now if you want to get like the Sife and Rosenberg fuck off episodes, as long as we keep coming with these guests, that's only Patreon. See, Sife, it actually gives you a reason to go to Patreon because if you want the fuck off episodes.
Yeah, you're right.
Patreon is now.
100%. What I thought you meant by fuck off is by you not coordinating the schedules with me enough to where we get two guests at the studio, I usually have to leave to go do a show. And that's me saying I'm going to fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. We have been meaning to do this. This is so perfect for the One App audience. We're not normally the big book promoter type. You know, this isn't like, we're not exactly Oprah or The View.
No, not Oprah anymore. What's her name? Does it now? Reese Witherspoon?
Reese Witherspoon is a book club?
What's the other one?
Oh, she's on TV. Kelly Clarkson.
No, forget it. Go ahead. Drew Barrymore. Do your thing. No, do your thing.
Anyways, our guys put out a book. It's called Do Remember, The Golden Era of NYC Hip Hop Mixtapes by Evan Auerbach, a.k.a. Ev of Up North Trips, and Daniel Eisenberg, a.k.a. Stan Ipkiss. And they came on with us right now to talk about this joint because Stan Ip, I'm not going to lie, this book is the quintessential One Ep headpiece.
Thank you for having us on.
Of course, bruh. What are the origins of this book besides you guys being rap nerds?
Does it need to be any more than being rap nerds?
Facts.
No, that's pretty much it.
I think the way me and Ev initially connected was around like doing some mixtape posts online. I had done some stuff on West Cheddar, and he picked it up and put it on Up North Trips. That's how we became friends and realized we were both born the same year and had the same interests. And from there, we started doing stuff together and eventually led to like, hey, let's do a book. And so this is a topic that's near and dear to both of our hearts. And pretty amazing that it's finally out and we're talking about it. It's crazy.
Ev, how much work do you guys have to do, like beyond obviously the knowledge that you guys have and I'm sure your own personal collections? You start off, you know, really going back in the day, the old school tapes, DJ Hollywood, Love Bug, Starsky, you're way back. How much work did you actually have to do to sort of do the setup work to get to the 90s, which was probably more both of your sweet spot?
I think the challenge in it all was putting it together in like a storytelling narrative. It was one thing which the publisher would have probably appreciated, which was to be this like really beautifully designed book of mixtape artwork. And I think Dan and I both understood the value of telling the story, which hadn't really been done. So for us, the beginning part of it, which Dan and I could attest to, was the stuff that was most learning opportunity for us, you know, because you nailed it on the head, Peter. Like I come into this game in the mid 90s, right? The Clue tapes, the exclusives, the SNS stuff. But the precursor of that was really kind of making sure that we got the right mouthpieces and the right storytellers to make sure that the setup of it was important as well.
And who's some of those people that you got?
Well, we start off the book, obviously, with Fab Five Freddy. Freddy wrote the foreword of the book, which we thought was really important for a couple of reasons, right? 2023 marks 30 years since Freddy brought Yo MTV Raps Uptown to Rockin' Wills and had Kid Capri and Ron G on there, which was really like this national exposure to what was happening uptown with mixtape.
That's a pivotal moment in the mixtape world?
No, but it sets off the national storytelling and awareness of mixtapes in a way that really? I think we all probably appreciated because we were here.
I have that on a VHS somewhere from the first time it aired. In one of my bins, I got that on a VHS. But also, I just saw it on like Instagram or TikTok where it had Kid Capri doing the something in the way you make me feel with the Impeach the President drums.
That's it.
And it's like, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I watched that as a kid. Trying to copy that shit.
So having Fred set it off and that kind of be setting the stage for the story made a lot of sense. And what he wrote was so important because he's a boombox guy and he talks about that. And he sets the stage as like really the precursor to the precursor of the mixtapes is these live recordings from venues. Cold Crush Brothers, you know, just pulling up to the spot. And really, we made a decision that we didn't want to talk about mixtapes as that being live recordings of performances.
Yeah.
You know, there could be a whole book written about that era of it.
Yeah.
So where we dropped the needle, pun intended, is really like talking about Hollywood and Hollywood's, you know, bringing the forefront of the technological change between A-tracks, right? Because he comes in the late 70s, early 80s. That was A-track era.
Those recordings to cassette, those first ones?
To cassette, yep. So from the Hollywood era, kind of the torch pass goes on to probably Brucey B, which I think is probably one of the most unheralded and unappreciated and uncelebrated gentlemen in the mixtape game because, you know, what he was doing uptown at the rooftop is really where the commerce of mixtapes comes in, right? The idea of like, I can record myself live at the club, shout out that Pete and Cypher Sounds are in the building, right? And Pete and Cypher Sounds wanted a copy of that because of how important the rooftop was. And Bruce was a smart enough guy is that he realized he could start selling those tapes and mass producing those tapes. So as he explains in the book, he was selling last week's recordings this week at the club and would know. So that's kind of really where the commerce of mixtapes comes into play.
Yeah.
And then moving the story a little bit forward, I don't want to get too much, is then Kid Capri takes that idea of what was in the club and says, I'm going to create that sound, but I'm going to do it in the crib, right? I'm going to create that same energy from the rooftop, and I'm going to do this in the crib and recreate it with the DJ shouting it out, the shout outs, the quick, fast mixes and the cuts, and brings that into a home studio set. And that kind of explodes from there. So those early eras was really important to set the stage for what was to come next, which is the SNSs and the Craig G's and obviously up through the Clues and the MVs and the guys that were a little bit more in the time that said, Dan and I were around.
Yet, man.
Yeah, what about Doo-Wop yet, man? What the fuck?
You I mean, look, Doo-Wop, Tony, Ron, those guys get their own category.
No,
right?
Because No.
Stop playing.
WAP is with SNS and Craig G. Tony came a little after.
In the
WAP is 91.
But in the sense of what they did that changed the format of the mixtape, right?
Fine, 95. I see what you're saying.
So they each one of those in their own ways changed the format of what mixtapes were.
Okay. All right. I see what you're saying.
Yo, the pictures in this book are so crazy.
Sick, bro. The pictures are sick.
Cypher Sounds tapes in there.
Do I have a tape in here? Really?
Yeah.
You have what a whole, tape? There's a whole section on you.
No.
Because I'm not involved.
And I read the book. You're very involved. That's and my I promise job, you, I read the book.
Yeah. You said you read the book. Whole,
I didn't say I read the book. I literally just opened it. Here's the plastic. I just opened it right before
you, bro. What page is safe? Let me find you.
What's my story? No one tells me. Maybe
these two 162. What do you know about these tapes, Safe? On the screen, my brother.
Safe. 162.
Nobody tells those stories. 162.
Yo, Funkmaster Flex presents DJ Cypher Sounds Big Dog Volume 1.
Yeah, Volume 1, baby. Guess what Volume 2 was? Never came out.
Plus, you heard Volume 1. Penalty mixtape. Cypher, you always talk about this.
If you got the penalty, okay. You know what? I fuck with y'all, white boys.
When we started this book, there were like two tapes that I wanted to figure out how to get the stories behind. One was Mr. C talking about the best of Biggie, and two was you talking about that Nori tape.
Wait a minute. I talked about
I feel accomplished that we
you interviewed
that.
Me?
No, we just made it all up.
Remember?
Make sure you approve. Make sure you approve.
I don't even remember being interviewed.
It's amazing.
Wait, when did you guys do it? During the pandemic?
Yeah, all on Zoom.
What about, oh, fuck yeah. Okay, now I remember. What about, okay, so you got SNS, you got Ron G, you got Craig G, then you got Doo-Wop, Tony Touch, all that shit. What about, what do you got, Dirty Harry in here?
Didn't get Dirty Harry.
There's some Dirty Harry stuff in.
We got,
Dirty Scary stuff in.
Well, we got No Joe. So a little bit about the book is it's just not interviews with mixtape DJs. We thought it was important to really kind of get every single angle that we could to talk about mixtape culture. So we got store owners. We got graphic designers. We got distributors. And with Dirty Harry, we spoke with a designer whose name was No Joe, who was really responsible for creating kind of like the look and the likeness of what we know mixtapes to feel like of that era.
Do you consider Stretch and Bob live recordings mixtapes from the radio show?
Yes.
There's a chapter.
I think from
live on radio tapes.
Because I fucking, you know, when I worked, okay, I was going to say you got the G-Unit shit in here. Yep, that's all in here. When I worked at Fat Beats, they used to sell the Stretch Armstrong and Bobbito tapes. And I never got any of them because I was like, why do I need the tapes? I listen every week. Years later, I'm like, what a fucking asshole I am. I could have had every single one.
And your conversation about Fat Beats really like opened up something that we had overlooked, which was like the turntablism tapes, right? You know, like which were really important to mixtapes. You know, the Rock Raider, rest in peace, and the whole Executioners and Spin Bad and guys who probably don't fit into that criteria of mixtape DJs, but were doing things on cassette tapes that were done by DJs that pushed the conventional format of what we know as mixtapes, but were equally as important. Fat Beats being one of those places where they really popped off.
So when do you, like, our traditional core version of a mixtape, where do you think that starts? Kid Capri?
You mean one DJ just mixing new songs, essentially, on the turntables, recorded to tape and mass-produced?
Right, and not live. Not like a live.
Because I think Brucey B is much. I saw Brucey B the other day, and I said, do you have all those tapes? He said, bring me a flash drive. I said, I will be there. You know what I mean? But like, as much as I want all those recordings from the rooftop and everything that Brucey B did, is that a mixtape? You know what I mean? Because the term mixtape has gone through many different transformations. Where does it start and where does it end?
It's all a mixtape. I mean, I think that's part of it. You know, we talk about the live tapes. Those are mixtapes. People recording their set in a club, Kid Capri in the building or whatever it is. And then it's hit them in the crib. So now you got guys like Ron G, they're doing blend tapes. They're doing it in the crib. Or Kid Capri, like Ev said, is just emulating what would have been done at a club in his crib. Same style of being on the mic and everything. Same mix, same, you know, party flow of the song selection. You know, and then it gets more conceptual. You get 95 live, 50 MCs, all this type of stuff.
Where does
all of a sudden it's like a one artist focused? It's all a mixtape, really.
Is 50 and all the G Unit stuff mixtapes? That's where I always start to like.
Why wouldn't it be? It's just a new focus. It's a one artist focus, right?
Yeah, but it's not mixed though. It's not mixed. It's like a playlist almost. It's the argument, right? Yeah, it's the argument that that's what one up is for, baby. Jailyard arguments.
Well, the skills versus exclusives. I mean, you even talk about it in your interview. People will come into Fat Beats and be like, "Yo, you got the new Clue tape," and you would almost shame them, you know? Because you're like, you're just playing a playlist. yeah, right. You know, whereas like other guys, you know, Rob Swift tape or whatever, it's like skills. You know, it's actual turntable cutting and slicing and mixing and blending and all that stuff. So, I mean, that's probably the age old argument on our side of it. It's all a mixtape to us. Yeah, it's all a mixtape, and it's all valuable fire, for its own reason. I came up appreciating the guys who were going to give you the new music before it came out, the guys that had the new biggies or the freestyle, the stuff you couldn't get on the album. That was like my first attraction to wanting to drive into the Bronx as like a 16-year-old kid and just like look wherever I could to find tapes. You know, that was what I wanted. Not that I didn't appreciate the other stuff, but that was like attractive for me and the time that I entered into my hip hop fandom. Where other people could make the other argument, you know?
Where would you get your tapes back then when you drove into the Bronx?
I would go like Fordham Road. I had a couple spots. I forget what's the record store that was on Fordham. It was like you went downstairs. I think maybe it was called Downstairs Music, or was that even a music factory? Yeah. Southern Boulevard was one of my spots. There was another one on Grand Concourse.
I keep searching for that feeling that I used to get when I used to get mixtapes, and it just doesn't exist anymore. There's nothing gives me that feeling like when you used to buy those fucking mixtapes, man.
I mean, it's for me, that's the same feeling that doesn't exist anymore of buying new records at a record store. Like when I would like go to New York and go to go to whatchamacallit on St. Mark's and actually just like get new records in the plastic and you hadn't heard them yet. Like some of those, a lot of the buying experiences of new music, that's dead. You can still get the feeling from buying old vinyl and it feels nice. But it's not the same as like you just got a mixtape or you just got a new 12-inch or even you're at the mall randomly and you stumble on like, yo, they have a cassette single for this and it has a whole B-side, another song. I got to buy this right now.
Yeah. Maxi.
Yeah, the Maxi cassette.
Maxi singles.
Bro, guys, this book is really dope.
This right here, this is the hip hop nerd in your life.
Yeah, I'm putting this on my coffee table. You know what? I got to get a coffee table.
From two very official... two very official hip hop nerds in their own right who've been doing it in many different ways for a very, very long time. Ev, Stan, Ip, we appreciate you guys for sending us this and for putting this out because this is another piece of the story that needs to get told. It's a perfect companion piece with the Tony Touch movie that's out that everyone goes stream on Paramount. And this is a really nice piece that you can have in your hand. All the pictures and notes and flyers and letters and stories. Congratulations and thank you guys.
Thank you. Thanks for helping to shine a light on the book. Yeah, for real. Thank you guys.
Of course, man. This is super cool. All right. Thank you, boys.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.